Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We're talking about Rob Gronkowski and you know what we think he's probably battling through. Christian's talked about his inability to train or unwillingness to train, I guess is what Christian is saying, you know, more of the Patriot way and going strictly with the TB12 method. At the exact same time, we're talking about Gronk, and is he hurt? Is it a back? What is it? We get word today that Alex Smith's playing future is probably in jeopardy.
Yeah.
You remember
brutal
the
injury.
Gruesome, ugly, broken leg that he suffered. He had surgery on it on November 20th. He is reportedly still in the hospital and has been since. There is a host out of D.C. citing sources saying that Smith is dealing with, quote, devastating complications from the leg surgery. Ian Rappaport reported that Smith is battling an infection related to the surgery, said the veteran is being handled very carefully and seriously by doctors. They are saying there's another report out of D.C. saying that his post-operative infection could require, quote, a partial reconstruction. The Redskins put out a release today saying that Alex Smith's family has requested privacy. Says, we appreciate all the concerns and prayers over the injury he incurred on November 18th against the Texans. Although this is a serious injury, Alex and his family remain strong. We would ask everyone honor the Smith family's request for privacy at this time.
Well, it is pretty crazy when you think about, you're almost used to seeing these gruesome injuries and then the player returning. And Gordon Hayward, disgusting, gross, but he's back. Paul George, awful, but he's back. We had like 47 points last night. Like, you see these disgusting injuries, but guys find a way to recover from them a lot of times. But maybe we shouldn't take that for granted. Like, it doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen every time. Some of these injuries are so gruesome. And Alex Smith's was.
He broke both his fibula and his tibia.
Yeah.
Both of them.
And so even with the, you know, modern medicine and surgeries and everything else that we have, there's no guarantee that that guy's going to be able to, hey, you'll see you in 9 months. Like, that's not the reality.
And isn't it perfectly reasonable that thoughts like that enter into the thinking of any guy who's dealt with a lot of injuries over the course of his career? And I'm talking Gronk in this case. You know, he has dealt with a lot of these things. Somewhere in the back of his mind, he's thinking, you know, do I want to be able to bend down and pick up a ball? Do I want to, you know, are there things that I'd like to do for the rest of my life?
I mean, I think about that with Edelman. Some of the hits that he takes and the injuries that even he has had. And when he gets back up and you're saying, oh, my God, how many more of those can you take? Or the end of Wes Welker's career. You're saying, my God, like what these guys kind of put their bodies in. And you see them when they're 20s and 30s. We're not around when they're 50s. And trying to walk around and do that. So, I mean, it's a big risk that you have to take in order for the, you know, the reward of the contract and, you know, celebrity and all that other stuff.
And it also leads to the thought, and we've discussed this in the past, you wonder how much longer Gronkowski's going to want to be willing to keep doing this.
Well, that's why the caller who said he's going to play 2, 3, or 4 more years.
There is no way.
No way. You got to remember, he came into the league, he was young, because he went after what is sophomore, redshirt sophomore year. So as soon as he could come out pro, he did. He was 21 years old as a rookie. So this is a long run. Like, I know most people think, well, he's retired, you know, by 30. Like, well, yeah, but that's a lot of games. That's a lot of hits, a lot of injuries, this isn't a guy that showed up, played for 4 or 5 years and was gone. This is a pretty long career. Now, if you compare anybody's career to Brady's, they're going to look short. But nobody plays 20 years. Like, that's a very small list of guys. Like Clay Matthews, senior. Like, those are the guys that play 20 years. Not a lot, tight ends.
You go back to the offseason, and if the reports are correct that Bill Belichick was attempting to trade Rob Gronkowski to the Detroit Lions, and then you wonder, did he know something? Right. Then you go back to the contract with $5 million in incentives. Yeah, we'll tweak it, but you got to make this, and this.
They probably had to not laugh in the meeting when they signed off.
And
were
they going, look, there's just no way.
He's not going to get him.
And we talked about Belichick at the time. We all criticized Belichick, me included. Come on, you're making this guy sing for his supper? Maybe they kind of knew that he wasn't able to sing like he used to sing.
Well, I think we were more taken back by Brady. That was outrageous that Brady has to have incentives. Gronk is actually the perfect player for incentives because normally he's either not playing and you're paying him and it's like, okay, you're not getting your money's worth, or he's out there and he's underpaid for his performance. But when he misses so many games and misses playoff games and things like that, you're saying, man, can we come to some sort of agreement? And that's where the incentives come in. But yeah, this year, I mean, he is so far away. It's not even worth, you know, trying to calculate where what he needs to get for the for those because he's nowhere near.
617-779-7937. Tim's in Quincy. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So I just have a Gronk point, but I just want to say I love the show when you guys talk sports, but when you try and be funny and you make jokes, it's just I don't think you guys are funny at all.
It's the worst. I know.
It's pretty bad. I'd rather you just like stick on sports. But
that's what we're here for.
We'll try to be better.
Yeah,
thank
that's,
you.
That's what we're here for.
Great. What I want to say for the Gronk point, I think everyone's overreacting here. It's like as a Patriot fan, I respect that Gronk plays injured and like still gets out there and still is on the field. It's like he's still getting double teams. He opens up the field to everyone else.
Did you pass out? What happened there?
I think that was him trying to be funny. And guess what? It didn't work for him either.
No, it's tough. It's a tough business, you know? Everybody's a critic. You didn't like Tim?
Hated him.
He had a clear phone. He had a solid voice.
Good news.
Yeah, he had a solid...
clear phone, then it just died out in the middle of his conversation.
He did bail. He did pull the zip cord there. He kind of ran out of material, but he came out swinging.
See, I think he led with his A material because he wasn't sure he was going to get much more
right.
than that.
Then he's like, oh, wait a minute. They didn't hang up on me? I still got more to go?
I
got
to say something now?
Oh, no. So he thinks...
See, he'd have been better off if he took the shot and then hung up immediately.
Right.
It's your mic drop moment.
And then he's like, oh, I'll stick around. I got a good Gronk take I got to get to.
Strong.
I don't even know if he is still getting double teamed a lot, to be honest.
I mean...
I know he says it like a matter of fact, but it's not.
It's not as much as it used to be. Because, look, they all watch film.
Like going into
everybody
the year...
Everybody knows what we're watching. Yeah, right. He doesn't look the same.
No, and like going into the year, I would have said double him every single time. That's what I would have said.
Or triple.
Or triple. And Detroit kind of did that. You know, Matt Patricia did that. And so you're like, all right, that makes sense. But as the year goes on, you say, you know what? Maybe you don't need to do that. Maybe you can cover. Also, depending on what your personnel is, you know, if you have, you know, really good safeties, just, okay, I think we're okay. Or really athletic linebackers, say, you know what? We're fine. We're going to go man to man and take our chances. And maybe throw, you know, help on Gordon or Edelman or, you know, whoever else.
One other side note here, and this is an NBA side note, but it jumped out at me, and I'm just curious. What is the recent trend about NBA players going after their fans? So Kevin Durant, back on November 20th.
Well, he is a baby.
Well, he got fined $25,000 for cursing at a heckler.
Yeah.
Telling the fan to watch the bleeping game and shut the bleep up.
And the heckler, by the way, only called him like a cupcake.
Yeah.
Like he said, it was actually like a pretty good little burn. He's like, he's called him a cupcake. And then Durant lost his mind.
So Patrick Beverley was fined $25,000 on Tuesday for throwing a game ball at a spectator. See,
but
I think he was trying to give him a souvenir.
I think he was. And that spectator, I believe in that instance, is that guy that you see at all the games that wasn't it the guy, Rossi, that has the hat and like the feather in his head? It looks like a pimp.
Oh, that guy?
Yes. And he's
at like every game in the front row. And so
he looked like the Godfather?
No, he doesn't look like the
it's
Godfather.
It's more like a Scoops. He's got a story.
He looks like Scarecrow from Batman.
Oh, well, what he actually looks like. Yeah, I meant more the hat.
Oh, the hat. Yeah. But he was there and he goes to a lot of like playoff games, but he's at all the Clipper games. And Beverly, I mean, so he knows them.
And honestly, if you saw that one, like, I didn't find it to be that bad. He, like, bounced past it to him.
He
didn't, like, gun
him.
It at him.
Yeah, I'm surprised he got fined the way that he did.
Well, today you got a new one.
Oh, who's this?
Tristan Thompson has been fined $15,000 for flipping a bird at the fans after. Now, they won. Cleveland won in Brooklyn on Monday.
Which is a rare thing for Cleveland this
year.
On
his way off the court, he flipped his middle finger to hecklers who while he was walking off the court.
You shouldn't get fined for that.
I mean...
A quick little bird. Oh, did you see that video that was going around the internet?
That's the problem. It was caught on video, too, by the way.
Did you see the video that was making the rounds with the two guys giving each other the finger back and forth? That's the greatest video I've seen forever.
You know what it is?
Like,
it's like a tweet beef before Twitter.
It was, because they weren't screaming at each other. There was no physical violence. It was just they were each giving each other the finger, and it was intense. And the one guy was trying to cross the street...
But and he'd come back.
What I liked about it is they would, like, throw the arm. Say they were given, like, the left middle finger. You would, like, force the left arm out and, like it was. Like they
that's a work, though. You don't think that's a. You think it's a real video?
I don't know if it is or it isn't. It's got, like, 10 million views or whatever. It was hilarious. Tristan Thompson just saw that. He was inspired.
I remember actually seeing that video and, like, oh, I got to hear the audio to this. There's no words.
There's no. They don't say anything.
Nothing. Just very quiet, but they were really, I mean,
see, that was probably,
a picture says 1,000 words.
That was probably Tristan Thompson and the fan in Brooklyn on Monday.
Tristan, what do you think they said to Tristan Thompson? I'm guessing it had to do with Khloe.
Could have.
Gonna go ahead and bet money on it that had something to do with the Kardashian curse, is what he heard.
Couldn't he just point to the scoreboard? You know, that old, Look at the scoreboard.
Hey, we won a game. It's like our
maybe that's
fourth
what he was doing.
Season.
He was pointing to the scoreboard, but he was using the wrong finger.
Could have been. Andrew, it happened to Andrew Ferentz. He was telling the Montreal fans they were number one.
He did. He did. Ultimately, by the way, admit that. Oh yeah, he was flipping.
Didn't he say he had a equipment malfunction or something?
Initially,
like something
that's what he said. Yeah. In the new book, If These Walls Could Talk, Boston Bruins, he tells the whole story.
I saw that.
He tells
it's available everywhere now.
Everywhere
for the holidays.
He tells the story about his return to Boston after that game, and I'll give this part away. He finds envelopes taped to his apartment door. People in the neighborhood had accumulated money because they knew he was going to be fined.
Oh, it was amazing, though.
So they taped envelopes to his door with money that they were collecting for him to pay the fine.
It was worth it. It was worth it. That's still one of the lasting images. When you think of Andrew Ferentz, it's exactly what you think of. Yeah, nice moment.
Flipping the bird to the fans in Montreal.
Nice moment. Now, you have a book rival now all of a sudden.
Friggin' Cujo.
Dale hates Curtis Joseph, man. Now. It's his biggest rival in the
so
book
in the,
game.
So in the new releases category, I was number one over the weekend.
That's right.
Cujo
and
knocked
here comes
me,
Curtis Joseph.
Cujo who knocked
to read about
me
that?
Off the top spot today.
What could he possibly talk about?
Cujo?
Yeah, probably.
I hate him too now, Dale.
Thank you, Jason.
He's not a friend of the show. We don't want to hear from him.
Enemy, maybe.
Bump me from number one to number two on the new releases category.
Show villain.
Damn it.
I would say. How long does the new release last?
I don't know, because the book came out November 6th. It's been a month now.
Well, you're right on the cusp.
I don't know what the rules are in the publishing game.
I couldn't tell you.
If it's anything like radio, you can say you're new for a long time.
Oh, yeah, we're stale. The new Dale and Keefe show.
Good point. You might be there for a year.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Days with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So yesterday, with the big announcement by the XFL of the eight cities that they're going to be going into in February of 2020.
Not Boston.
Not
Rossi's
Boston.
Still
sorry,
upset about
Rossi.
It.
Yep. So in
makes
honor,
no sense.
With well, that, and we were talking about the AAF.
The
which
Alliance.
Is, which begins...
American Alliance. I don't know what it is.
February of 2019...
Oh, they're coming right around
the
corner.
And we don't think anybody's going to watch either of them.
We don't. Rossi thinks the XFL is going to make it.
I don't.
Well,
we don't. So we find out today.
This is unbelievable.
So Ricky Williams is on ESPN a few moments ago.
Yeah, outside the lines.
Announcing that they've invented another new league.
That's right, Dale.
The Freedom Football
Freedom
League.
Freedom Football League, the FFL. It's going to be a spring football league. Whose founding owners, in addition to Ricky Williams, include Terrell Owens, Simeon Rice, and Mike Allstott. I forever hate Simeon Rice, by the way, because he made a comment about Pat Tillman after Pat Tillman passed away.
He said
something like he wasn't that good of a player. I was like, are you kidding me? So I always associate Simeon Rice with that, so I hate Simeon Rice. T.O.'s going to want to play on his team, by the way.
Oh, he's promise. Like, I promise. That's the only way he could get a job was, I'll invent a league, and then they'll have to let me play.
So I didn't think there was enough talent for two leagues. And now you have three leagues?
Well, now you have four, technically.
I meant two other leagues. So now you have three bonus leagues that are all apparently going to be competing against each other. So this is just brand new. We haven't heard a word about Freedom Football League until today. So we know, like Dale said, you're going to have one coming up in February.
I don't know anything about it.
It just says a spring football league. That's all that I'm reading from. And that
now,
is
the
outrageous.
XFL actually ends like April 26th, 28th.
Yeah.
I think the AAF is ending. Now, they both start like the week after the Super Bowl.
That's so bad. Now, the XFL has the best name. XFL wins on name, Rossi. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Freedom
Check.
Football League for the birds. Alliance, whatever it is, AAF, also stinks.
The pits.
They're both the pits. I wouldn't want to watch any of those. Now, we had a question from a tweeter, Dale. Somebody tweeted us earlier. I want to find it. I think it was Mike. It was Mike. He goes, how about this? Can Kareem Hunt take a year off and play for the AAF or the XFL?
Tweep.
What? He tweeted.
Tweep.
No, I don't say tweep.
That's our tweeters, and that Dale called him a tweep one time.
No, I don't want to call it that. Here's the thing: Would one of those leagues
want him?
That's the question.
And my guess would be no. They're kind of battling. You know, they're battling a PR war as it is. First of all, against each other. Second of all, against the NFL. the last thing they need to be known at is even Vince won't want to be. Yeah, we'll take all the guys you kick out of your league. Bring them on over here.
But let me flip it to this way. If Sunday, say March 10th is a random Sunday or whatever, and there's a game on at 1 o'clock, and Kareem Hunt is playing versus Kareem Hunt is not playing, wouldn't you be much more likely to watch it if he was?
I'm not even that cranked up about Kareem Hunt anyway.
I think he's a great player. He's a loser, and he's a terrible person, but he's a really good football player. I just would want to say, like, how is he going to look in this league? Like, I just think it would get more eyeballs onto the league and the game. It's a bad precedent to start. Like, all right, here we are. Here we take all these guys that are suspended and wherever else.
Hey, anybody got Greg Hardy's number, Eric?
Well, give him a call. Yeah, the UFC has it. Yeah, and he's going to be fighting on ESPN or whatever coming up.
No, it's all about getting the eyeballs on there. Then you turn it into something because you need a spectacle to tune into.
The most obvious names are Colin Kaepernick, Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow. If you get any of those guys, you are going to get attention. You're going to get eyeballs. You're going to get highlights.
I mean, even if you disagree, Kaepernick has taken. No. He hasn't broken any laws. He hasn't been accused of any, you know, crimes.
Now, but again, like him not being allowed in this league, I don't think the XFL or the AAF would want to take him on. I don't think they would.
Maybe for the same reason.
I think Vince has already said that everybody's going to stand. So as outrageous as that is, but that would get people to watch. And by the way, didn't we learn something with Nike? Like, that would also get a lot of attention. It would get a lot of positive attention, too. It'd be the most polarizing move that they can make, which, again, is insane compared to Kareem Hunt or Reuben Foster or somebody else they could bring in. But Colin Kaepernick would get what any of these three leagues would get them a ton of attention. But the owners and the commissioners of these leagues might not want the negative pushback that comes with it.
See,
Tebow's the answer. Get Tim Tebow.
And I don't think he'll do it.
I don't think so either. I think he wants to be in the NFL or not.
And Manziel might.
He might be on the Mets opening day roster.
The way they're going, he might be. Manziel, I think, would.
Manziel will be on one of the, he played in Canada, so he'll play on one of these three leagues. Yeah. I think.
And Kaepernick.
Probably not.
I don't think he'd sign because I think he feels that this is beneath him. That'd be my read on it.
Probably. But what a joke. Three of these leagues?
Well,
can they like dip in and like make trades within each other to keep the?
I know
there's not enough good players.
Everybody thinks that there's an insatiable appetite for football, and there is a huge appetite for football, for NFL football.
Yeah.
There's an insatiable appetite for that. I think Thursday night football is too much. So do you?
And I think year round kind of burns you out too. I don't think you need anything year round. Like think about whatever your favorite shows are. Like what's your favorite TV show? You think that should be on year-round? Or do you like having a little bit of a break? Then you get back to it.
You like to have the cliffhanger. You like the ending to make you come back for more.
You come back. You kind of build up to it. Like Game of Thrones. I love Game of Thrones. But you couldn't have it every single Sunday.
Their break is a little longer than I would have
liked. Well, the break is outrageous. I'll agree with you on that. But think if you had that every week, so 52 weeks a year you're watching that? I just don't think so. And, I mean, I know you can gamble on this. This will help. They're going to have to figure out a fantasy aspect to it. But even then, that's tough because you don't know any of the players. At least most of them you're not going to know. So I just don't think any of them are going to work. And then when you have so many competing against each other, like just one league, for example, might have a better chance. Like Tommy Kern yesterday was talking about, remember NFL Europe? Like it wasn't great, but there were NFL Europe alums that they would play over there.
Made it to the NFL.
Kurt Warner, all these other guys that would come over there. And it was something. It was another league to find players to play in the NFL outside of college football. So all right, all these other sports have different leagues that you know, whether it's the minors and baseball and hockey or now the G League, but also just all over the world in basketball. Football doesn't have that, so there might be room for it. But if you have three of them, you're watering down the talent, and nobody's going to want to watch. And then eventually they're going to have to pull the plug because – How are you gonna get sponsors? How are you gonna get all of this stuff?
I felt that any one of these second leagues, the AAF, the XFL, now the Freedom Football League, any one of them would have a hard time surviving.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got three of them.
Come on,
they have zero chance.
Done.
It's Rossi, not gonna happen.
Rossi, does this change your opinion on the XFL now that there's a third guy in town?
No, it reinstates my opinion.
I can't, though.
Because they're more watered-down leagues. I think the XFL will have the most money behind it.
You don't think the XFL is watered down?
Of course, compared to the NFL, but out of these three, it's the number one ranking one. It will be the most successful one.
Which means they'll last 2 years. The other two will each last a year.
I think they're at least going three. They're not giving up on this one early. They'll make this work.
The Freedom Football League.
They'll last until Stephanie and Shane get their father committed for wasting their inheritance.
So the USFL, which Donald Trump even said was small potatoes. He helped kind of submarine that.
Yeah, he
was
helped kill it.
He was one of the owners. Great 30 for 30 on that, by the way. But they
and
had
a great Jeff Perlman book out right now, too.
But they had real players.
Yes.
Like, they found a way. They got Herschel
Doug
Walker.
Flutie,
and
Herschel
Jim
Walker,
Kelly.
Yeah.
They had, like, Reggie White. They had Steve Young. They had real players, and it still didn't work. These leagues aren't going to have even a sniff of a real player. So you're going to have to get really invested. I think certain markets, maybe it'll be a little bit better than others. I was looking up the XFL the first go-around, and they played some. They had some big-time teams and then or cities, and then others not so much. But they had a list here of average attendance. And so the Chicago team played at Soldier Field. They fit 55,700 into the stadium. The average attendance was 15,000. So they filled a quarter of the stadium. Even the Birmingham team filled 20% of the stadium.
And now they're going into bigger stadiums. Good
yeah,
plan.
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
Let's go into the exact same stadium that the Seattle Seahawks play in.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little curious just to see what the product's going to look like, but I feel like I know what it's going to look like, and I'm not going to want to invest my time in it.
Yeah.
There
will be a curiosity factor initially. What's this look like? Is the football any good? And by the way, I think you'll be sorely disappointed at the quality of the football.
Yeah, it's not going to be great. And how many?
It's going to be worse than top flight college football.
Yeah. And how many people out there are strictly football fans? I feel like that's a rare group, because when the football's over, great. Now it's all Celtics and Bruins. Like you go all in on Celtics.
Spring
Bruins,
training for the Red Sox,
and then you get ready for the Red Sox, and then that's what it is, and then that carries you to the next Patriots season. And so I feel like, especially if you're in these big markets, they all have a million teams. They're all going to just, all right, now let's start talking about, whoever, like fill in the blank for whatever team it is. So, they got their work cut out for them, that's for sure.
617-779-7937, Mark's in Brookline. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you?
I'm good. Is Steve Young a real football player, by the way? Anyway, I guess he is, but that's
well, not
funny.
Anymore.
Steve Young's retired.
I know. But anyway, so
is that an attempt at humor that I missed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A comment on humor, by the way, from that previous caller. One requirement to finding someone funny is to actually have a sense of humor, which I think that guy may not, because I think you guys are very funny.
Oh, well, thank you, Mark. So it's 1-1.
1-1.
Funny versus not funny. It's 1-1. We'll have a tiebreaker coming up shortly. What do you got,
Mark? So Gronk-wise, my take on Gronk is that it's a compound issue, but he's been in the league like 10 years, and I think he's played one full-time season, the full season. And so he's been hurt, 30 or 40% of the time. So this seems sort of like the natural progression of someone that is not doing that great. So, I guess I'm not really surprised that he's where he's at. I think it's worthy of asking the question, why is he, what's really going on exactly? Because there's some complicated factors. He's kind of a weird guy and all that. But, what do you think about that?
I agree. I think it's pretty impressive that he's made it this long in his career, to be honest. The
I
way
actually
he started,
don't think he's as weird a guy as people think.
I'm not saying he's a weird guy.
Well, that was his comment, that he's a weird guy. I just don't think he is.
He is or he isn't, doesn't matter whether he's hurt.
Slapstick schoolboy sense of humor, perhaps.
I think he knows what he's doing.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I think he's much smarter than people think he is.
And so he played 16 games his rookie year and his second year. His second year is still one of the great tight end seasons of all time. Since then, he has never played in 16 games. And obviously, he's not going to do it this year. He's already missed a handful.
And if you add them all up, hasn't he basically missed like two full seasons?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Especially if you include some of the playoff games that he missed.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably right. He had a 7 in there. He had an 8, an 11, a couple of 15s, a 14. So, yeah, this year's going to be 13 at best. So,
Bill's on the cell phone. Hey, Bill.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's going on?
Yeah, a question for you for Gronk. I think you said he played 111 regular season games.
Yeah.
So, 7.5 seasons plus playoffs. So he leaves after this year. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I say yes.
Yeah, I would say yes,
I have
too.
I have thought that he was, but, you know, if he left after this year, he's leaving after kind of a down year, too.
That's okay. I mean, not everybody ends on a high note.
No, but will they think of the last, will the last impression be the one that sticks in people's memories?
Well, no.
Yeah, because, but that's 5 years later.
Right. That's the thing. You don't vote after this year, so I think people will look back, and then you just put together a highlight reel, and boom, I think he's in.
Yeah, he strikes me as like a Gale Sayers type. I mean, he's the best tight end I ever saw, certainly, and I never saw Gale Sayers. Next to Mark Bavaro, I guess, would be the second that I ever saw.
Sure.
Who I think the Veterans Committee eventually will put in, even though his career was cut a little bit short.
Well, you've had some really great tight ends the last number of years with, you know, Antonio Gates and
Tony Gonzalez. One of the best.
I mean, they're all right up there.
Oh, yeah, Jason Witten had a good career.
The guy who's on Monday Night Football.
No, he did.
He was a really good tight end.
But I think Gronk, I don't know if Witten
was a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame at the pace he was on. But he hasn't been able to maintain it, and I'm feeling less and less confident he's going to be able to even go beyond this year.
I think he will. I think he's a five-time Pro Bowler, a four-time All-Pro. And you look at some of these other Hall of Famers that got in there, they seem to be okay with really elite seasons. Like, look at Terrell Davis being in, and look at Kurt Warner being in. Now, I understand they were MVPs. Gronk was not an MVP. But from 2010 to 18, he had more years where he was the best tight end in football than he wasn't. So I think there's a good case to be made. You throw on top of it playoff success. I think he's, like, if you took who's the best tight end from this decade, it's him.
It's Gronk.
So I think that helps him.
Pete's in Ohio. Hey, Pete.
Hey, gentlemen. I think you're funny.
Thank you very much, Pete. The funny has it. They're perfect. 2-1. Thank you.
Hey, what's keeping Kaepernick from playing in Canada, other than them not wanting him?
I think he doesn't want to. I think he did get off. I believe he got offered a contract by Canada like a year ago, and he said no. So he's keeping himself from playing in Canada.
And now the two guys recently, and the guy at Baltimore, the running back, I forget the names.
Ray Rice.
Ray Rice. Now, pending criminal charges, what would keep them from playing up in Canada?
Guess is, in Kareem Hunt's case, he's not going to get an offer. I just think that a CFL team's going to see the exact same videotape you've seen and I've seen and say, you know what, no, we're good. You know, pass.
He may also go ahead.
One other name on a tight end list, Jay Novacek for the Cowboys in the 90s. I thought he was exceptional blocking and receiving.
Novacek was good. He was really good. That's the name of my Cowboy in Red Dead Redemption.
Jay Novacek.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought that was a good call by you.
It is good.
You haven't shot and killed him yet, have you?
No, I am him.
Yeah, but you.
Oh, I know. It's always a good question.
Not real good with the gun. And
well, you never know. Day to day. We'll see how it goes with Jay Novacek.
And if you did shoot and kill yourself, who would you be next?
You respawn. Oh, I would probably be, I don't know, Nate Newton, Charles Woods, or Darren Woodson.
Poor horse.
Yeah, somebody else.
Poor Nate Newton.
Daryl Johnston.
Not Bojack. And go, oh, come on, really?
Here comes another guy.
Here comes Nate Newton.
Here he comes.
I don't need
Alvin Harper. Maybe Alvin Harper.
Oh, there you go.
I liked him.
What else you got is coming up next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get a couple of things in here that we might have missed throughout the course of the program.
What else you got?
All right, Dale, what else you got?
I'll start with Forbes has just come out with their latest edition, the NHL Team Values for 2018. Now,
okay.
I never
know. How much
know,
the franchise is worth?
Right.
Okay.
And, you never know what their numbers are based on. Almost unanimously, every NHL owner says, well, that number's not right. But this is what they've got out there. They say the Rangers are the most valuable team in the NHL. Makes sense.
Maple Leafs?
With a value at about almost $1.6 billion.
Wow.
Number two is the Maple Leafs, a little over $1.4 billion. Number three is the Canadiens, about $1.3 billion. Number four is the Blackhawks, just over $1 billion. Number five is the Bruins. Just under $1 billion. Looks like it's about $900 million, somewhere in there. So according to Forbes magazine, the Boston Bruins are the fifth most valuable franchise in the NHL.
Oh, pretty good. So if they sold right now, they could probably get a cool billion.
And don't even get Bobby Orr started on how much his share would be, because he was offered part ownership in the team, and Alan Eagleson didn't tell him about it, and he never would have left here, and he'd own part of the team. And if you want to get Orr upset, just bring up that topic sometime.
I'm not going to do that.
No, what else you got?
The Celtics are back in action. C's are back in action. Ross, you want to? We'll go with this. Yeah, they're ready to go. Ready for the holiday spirit.
Now, I saw a photo. Kyrie's one of them.
Yes.
I know, singing. Evidently likes Christmas more than Thanksgiving.
Yes, he's in on Christmas.
He's the only one with a microphone, and you're overhearing. The entire roster was there.
The whole roster was there. This is not horrible.
It's not bad. I just wish more of them were mic'd up. No, it was great, and they were doing a great thing. They were visiting a bunch of kids. It was great to see. They are playing a lot better. They have won 3 straight games. They took, like, the week off for some reason, and so now they're playing tonight against the Knicks. Something to keep in mind, Celtics are 4-0 when Jaylen Brown does not play. They have a losing They have a losing record when Jaylen Brown does play.
Does he start tonight?
I hope no. Now, yesterday he had a comment that he thinks he's going to come off the bench, but he hasn't talked to Brad about it yet. I thought that was a little bit surprising. But I hope that Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart both stay in the starting lineup. Keep that going for as long as it lasts. As long as those guys keep having good first quarters and the team plays well, then let Gordon Hayward come off the bench, and now let Jaylen Brown come off the bench. We'll see if he changes his game a little bit, because he has not been very good through the first 20-plus games.
Better Kyrie, singing-wise?
Kyrie's a better singer than Jaylen Brown is basketball player right now. Oh, this was his banger, right?
This was that party jam.
This
Uncle
is a real
Drew.
Real heater coming out of Uncle Drew.
I think I like the Christmas Carol better.
He's obviously multi-talented. You can say that.
Can do it all.
Love Kyrie.
We got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next. See you guys later. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye.